Okay, so for the next 4 weeks in March, we'll be covering the topic of the kings of Judah and Israel. Now, we're not going to get into the details of each one of the kings, but really it's going to be about the summary. So we'll get into the background and then cover the main themes as well. During this time period of the kings of Judah and Israel, there's also quite a bit of information in the books that we'll look at in Samuel and in Chronicles and in Kings about the prophets. But the prophets also, it would just be too much to cover. So really, it's just about the kings of Judah and Israel, a summary and the main themes. So this slide gives us the background, the outline of what we're going to follow for the next 4 weeks. So this week, we'll be just looking at the background, the history and the statistics, just a little bit of information about why God chose to have kings, and was that his original plan? And then just some statistics around the kings. I mean, it's good to have like some historical context with the dates, the times, how many kings, all these various little facts. It's interesting to know as we begin our study. And then we'll get into the real meat of it, which will be more about the concepts and the what we can get out of it, the applications. So the second week, which will be next week, we'll look at the decree that God gave to the kings. And in that decree, he gave them three things that they should do and three things that they should not do. And that's all it's in Deuteronomy. It's even before the kings even took place. So this is something that God knew about, and we'll get into that. And he gives them a list of things that they should do and should not do. And then what we see throughout the books that we'll cover, which are, Samuel, Kings, and the Chronicles, is that quite a bit is said about the heart of the kings. If you read through all the kings, you read in a lot of them initially about where their heart was and about did they have a deep desire to follow God's will and the decree that he set forth in Deuteronomy through Moses. So that'll be the third week of what we'll look at. And then finally, we'll look at the sins or the failures in following the decree. And of course, quite a bit is said about, the failures of the kings. Not many of them were good. Most of them were in fact bad. So we'll get into that as well. So this is a general outline. So as said, we'll get into the background this week. We'll look at the history and the stats. So we'll get right into it. So what was God's plan for Israel, for ruling Israel? What did God want? Before we get into that, let's think about some of the common types of government that we have today. So one of the common ones that throughout history, this was prevalent for most of early history, were monarchies. And this is a rule by one person. So for example, like a king or a queen, they would rule and they would have absolute power. Now, there are variations of monarchies, but we don't need to get into the details of what that is and splitting hairs on what that is. But there's constitutional monarchies and absolute monarchies. But in general, we can think of them as just a rule by one person, a king or a queen. And then there's oligarchies, which is a rule by few, an elite few. So people that are very powerful, either through power or wealth, they usually go hand in hand. They would be the ones ruling a country. And then there's fascism. So this was popular during the World Wars with Italy and Germany. It's a rule through values, just political, cultural beliefs. You rule on that basis. And that's what we saw back in history. Another type of rule is communism. This is the rule of the state on behalf of the people. So you have a set government and they're the ones ruling and controlling things, and they do it on behalf of the people. And then there's socialism, which is also the rule of the state, but the goal here is a little bit different from communism in that you're trying to achieve equity for the people. And then there's democracy, which of course we're all familiar with, and that's rule of the people. But before that, there was the Republic, which started in Rome, and there was an indirect rule of the people through representatives. But God didn't want any of these types of government for his people that he chose. So what was God's plan for ruling Israel? Let's see if it transitions. Oh, went a little too fast there. So God's plan for ruling Israel was a theocracy. Theocracy simply means that God rules. And that is what he wanted. And we see in these passages here. So the first one we'll start with is in Exodus 19, verses 4 and 6, and they're listed here. And just for reference, I'm using the NASB. I know a lot of people probably use the KJV or the NKJV, but just so you know, all my references are from the NASB. So Exodus 19, 4 through 6, this is God speaking to the Israelites as after they came out of Egypt and they're at Mount Sinai, and he's giving them the covenant. He's saying, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Now that's key that God is saying that he's the one that redeemed them and brought them to himself. "Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandment, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine." Now, this is a very important verse, especially the last part of it, because this is the basis on which God rules. Because first of all, he says, all the earth is mine. I'm already ruling everything. Everything is mine. I created everything. But I've chosen you, Israel, to be my own possession. But there's also a stipulation in that, and that's to obey his voice and keep his commands. So in this verse, you get a lot of information about why God chose Israel and what he expects from them. One, it's on the basis of he is actually king over everything. So he just chose Israel among all the nations to be his own, to be his own possession. But that's only if they continue to obey his voice and keep his commandments. And I want you to keep this in mind as we go into the next topic, which will be why Israel wanted a king and they didn't want this type of rule. They didn't want a theocracy. So keep this in mind, what God is telling the people here, that he wanted them as his own and he chose them out of all the earth, which is his, to be his own possession if they will keep his commandments and obey his voice. And then verse 6, "And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." So again, he's emphasizing there that they are going to be a kingdom to him, a priest and a holy nation. Now, the important thing that I want to point out here is that they were a holy nation to God. Holy simply means that they're separate. So if you look back on the left side, now all of these types of government didn't exist at the time. But various types may have existed to varying degrees, and they're not all just absolute definitions. You can have a little bit of intermingling between all the types of government, but he wanted them to be separate. He wanted them to be holy, a separate type of nation, a separate type of rule, a separate type of people for his own sake. And that's why he says he wants them to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, separate from everything you see on the left. He is their God. He is the one that's going to rule them. That is the theocracy. And in fact, this actually happened for some time to some varying degrees after they settled the land and during the times of the judges. There was a loose form of theocracy going on at the time where God chose the judges to help him rule. But of course, we know what happened during the period of the judges, that Israel would go in this cycle of sinning and repenting and going back to God. God would send a judge and they would save them. And then the cycle would start back up again where they would sin. And then we also see, again, emphasize this type of government that God wanted in Isaiah 44:6. Now, what's interesting here is that Isaiah was actually a prophet during the time of the kings. So even during this time of the kings, God is saying, Isaiah 44:6, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer," again, emphasizing that he is their king and he is their Redeemer, which was also what he stated in what we saw in Exodus, that he brought them out of Egypt for himself. He's the one that redeemed them through his power, because he is the Lord of hosts, or the Lord of the armies. "I am the first and the last, and there is no God besides me." So this was the plan that God wanted for Israel, was a theocracy, that he ruled. And the basis of that rule was that, you know, the whole earth is his. He didn't need to have a military coup. He didn't need to do any of these other kind of things, set a form of government up. Everything was based on his power, his sovereignty, that he controls everything, but he chose Israel for himself, and he wanted them to obey his voice and his command, and also that he would be the one that fights their battles. While it's not explicit here, it's implied in that he's saying that he is their Redeemer and the Lord of hosts. And of course, we know this is true, but it's implied in the passage here, and it's not explicit. But I want you to remember those three things now as we go to why there were actually kings, why this didn't end up working out. So what were the reasons for the kings? So the first thing is that the people wanted it. This is something that the Israelites wanted. And we see this in 1 Samuel, and this is from chapter 8, verses 4 through 5, and then also verse 20. So thinking back on those three things that God said were the basis for his rule for the theocracy, we see how when Israel says they want a king, it's the complete opposite of those three things that God had already laid out and said, this is why I want you to be my people. So starting in verse 4, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. Now Samuel, just for historical context, he was the last judge. Now his two sons were also considered judges, maybe to some degree, but the people here rejected the sons as judges because of the way that they were walking. Now it's true that they weren't walking right. They were accepting bribes and not walking in the way that God wanted them to walk. But that's one of their first reasons. And they said to him, behold, you have grown old. Now, Samuel was honorable. He was righteous. He walked in God's ways. And Israel knew that. But they wanted to just give reasons. And they said, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now, appoint a king for us to judge us like all the nations. So this is in complete contrast to what we saw on the previous slide where God says, this is my plan for the nation of Israel, that I will be their judge. He said it implicitly in that if you obey my covenants and obey my voice, right? Because that is saying that I'm going to judge you through my commandments and what I tell you to do. But they didn't want that. They wanted to be judged like all the other nations were with the king. And then in verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations. Again, God told them he wanted them to be separate. He said, I am bringing you out to be a holy nation. But this is in complete contrast to what God wanted. But Israel, and you can see the error of their ways, they wanted to be like all the nations instead of a holy nation, a separate nation, not like all the nations. They wanted to be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and fight our battles. And we saw on the last slide again that God was their Redeemer. He is the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the armies, who fights their battles. But they don't want this. They want the king to do it. They want the king to judge. They want to be like all the other nations. And it's in complete contrast to what God wanted for them. So this is the first reason that we have kings, is that the people wanted it. And the people wanting it, what they did was effectively reject God. But God allowed it. And so going in the same chapter, in the same book, 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people. So God is saying, go ahead, allow this to happen. Because of course, in his providence and his wisdom, he knew this was going to happen. Because the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would of course come through Israel. And so this is a part of his great plan. So he's telling them, listen to the voice of the people in regard to all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. So they rejected him for those three things that we discussed on the previous slide. They rejected him from being their judge, from fighting their battles, and being a separate nation, a separate type of government, a separate type of rule. They rejected all those three things. The people did it. And Samuel, and God is reminding Samuel this because Samuel was grieved by this and he prayed to God. But God told him that they're not rejecting you, Samuel. They're rejecting me from being king. And again, the emphasis on king because that was the plan of God. But God still allowed this to happen for his purposes. And then finally, God actually planned this. And this is what we'll study actually next week in Deuteronomy 17 and verse 14 is where the decree starts, where God tells the future kings what he expects of them, a list of do's and a list of don'ts. three do's and three don'ts, which we'll get into next week. But here he says, through Moses, when you enter that land, the promised land, which the Lord gives you, and you possess it and live in it, and say, I will set a king over me, like all the nations who are around me, you shall surely set a king over you, whom the Lord your God chooses. So God knew this would happen. He planned for it, and he was going to let this happen in his providence, in his will, and his wisdom. This was going to happen. But again, it was emphasized here that the people rejected God and his plan for them. And then so now we have the reasons for the kings, why they wanted it, but it's not what God wanted. So we'll take a little break from this, and now let's just get a little bit of historical context, a little bit of time period that we're talking about. So if you look through various commentaries and sources, and I've looked through a few of them, none of the dates really line up exactly. We don't know the exact dates, but we know rough dates. So roughly the dates are from 1050 BC to about 550 BC. This is the time period of the kings. Before that was a time period of the judges, which was roughly about 350 years or so. So if you break out the time period of the kings, first you had united Israel. So there is no Judah and Israel. It was united Israel. And this was for about 110 years. And then during that time, these were the four kings that ruled. It was Saul, the first king, then David, Ishbosheth, who was a very weak king. He was the son of Saul, and he was really more of a puppet king. The real ruler was probably Abner, the commander of the army, but still he was listed as one of the kings. Then he was reigning actually at the same time as David's reign in Hebron before he ruled over all of Israel. And then, of course, we know Solomon after David. And then it was in Solomon's reign that the kingdom split with Jeroboam and Rehoboam. And of course, you had Judah and Benjamin reigning in Judah. And then you had the rest of Israel as a separate kingdom. So just for some understanding on what the time period was, Judah with the kings from Rehoboam to Zedekiah was roughly 350 years or so. And then you had, of course, the divided kingdom, which was the rest of the tribes, Israel, from Jeroboam to Hoshea, which was about 200 years. So in total, this time period was, again, roughly about 450 years or so that you had the time of the kings, from the united kingdom to the divided kingdom of Judah and Israel. And then, as I mentioned earlier, there were also prophets during this time period. So those are the prophets listed there. During the kings, there were some notable prophets. And in fact, a lot of the books that I'll be looking through, Elijah and Elisha, why I have them bolded there, they're actually mentioned quite a bit. And a lot of their story is written. Although we won't get into the details around them, they're actually within the story of the kings. And then there were other prophets during this time period. This is in close to chronological order as I could get it. But there was after Elijah, Elisha, Obadiah, Joel, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, Micah, Nahum, Zephaniah, Jeremiah, and Habakkuk. And then there were the notable prophets that we're all aware of that actually happened after the time of the kings, after the captivity. And those were Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Haggai, and Malachi. And of course, we know that after the time of the reign of the kings in Judah, they were taken into captivity by Babylon, and Israel was taken into captivity by the Assyrians. So this is a rough time period of when all the events took place. It's about 450 years or so, and then some of the notable prophets, and then you can kind of see the reign. And Judah actually had a little bit longer reign than Israel did. Israel went into captivity before Judah went into captivity. So as we're looking at this, and we're seeing that there's a united Israel, and then you have the break, we need to understand why did the kingdom split. So first we understood what God wanted from the kingdom, why they rejected God, and then why did this kingdom that was created, why did it split? So why did united Israel split? And it all has to do with Solomon's disobedience. Now this is a topic that we'll get into in the third week of the study, but really it had to do with his heart. Again, like I mentioned, we see this quite a bit when we read through the Kings about the heart of the kings. Where was their heart? And we'll get into the definition of what that really means, but simply put, it's really just having a deep desire to do God's will. And so what happened with Solomon is that his deep desire to do God's will went away. And why did it go away? And because it went away, God chose to punish them because of this. So 1 Kings chapter 11 and starting in verse 9. Now the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. God had appeared to Solomon two times. One was when before he started to rule and Solomon asked for wisdom, God appeared to him. But when he appeared to Solomon there, he gave him a command that you should obey my covenant and my decrees, which was also what we saw in the first passage in Exodus, that was one of the basis of God's theocracy and what he wanted to do in his rule was that they should obey him. But Solomon chose not to because his heart turned away. The second time that God appeared to Solomon was when he consecrated the temple that he built for God. And again, when he appeared to him that second time, he also gave him that same command to obey him and that his kingdom would last as long as he obeyed him and walked in his ways. But that's exactly what ended up not happening. So that's why it's God, through the Spirit, chose to put that here, that who had appeared to him twice, because during those times, he had given him those warnings. And that's what it follows in verse 10, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. And so the reason that he went after other gods and his heart turned away from the Lord was because of his wives. He had 1,000 wives. He had 700 wives. Now, some of this was probably done for military or national alliances with other nations in order to create alliances and peace between them. But he had 700 wives, 300 concubines, and he built altars for their respective gods. And he followed after those other gods. And so that's what God is reminding Solomon here of what happened and why the kingdom was going to be torn from him. But he did not observe what the Lord had commanded. And then verse 11, so the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, meaning his heart turned away from him, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and will give it to your servant. So to summarize here, Solomon went after other gods, and he did not keep God's commandment and statutes because his heart was turned away from following God and doing his will because really of his wives who caused him to follow after other gods. And so what was the punishment for this? So nevertheless, but God didn't do this in the time of Solomon. He did it after him and was for the sake of your father David, but I will tear it out of the hand of your son, Rehoboam. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give you one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David, and Benjamin actually ends up being a part of Judah, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. So Judah is given to Rehoboam, and the other tribes are given to Jeroboam. And now just a little bit more information about some details about the king. So on the left here, you see a list of the kings for Judah, and on the right side are the list of the kings for Israel. And some of these kings, I've listed them out, but some of them reigned together. For example, Omri and Tibni on Israel, they were actually reigning together when Israel was trying to decide who should be their king. And then in green, you see there, how long did they reign? Now, the length of their reign doesn't necessarily indicate blessings from God. For example, Manasseh was, at least in the early part, a very wicked king. Ahab was a very wicked king, but they all had pretty lengthy reigns. So the length of the reign doesn't necessarily have to do with obedience to God and any kind of blessings. But there were some kings that didn't have very long reigns. For example, Zimri, which captured through more of a military coup. He only, and it was really just himself, he only reigned 7 days before he died. And then there were others that only lasted 3 months, 6 months, and 1 month. But during this reign, there were also co-regencies as well. So for example, there could be a king that was reigning at one time, and then his son was coming up and reigning with him at the same time. So that's kind of double counted here in the reign of the years, but that's just a little bit of information there. And then there were the dynasties. So these are how long, for example, you know, a king had sons and they sat on the throne. First, we'll look on the right side, Israel. So it started with Jeroboam, but his dynasty didn't last very long. It only ended up with Nadab. And then God wanted his kingdom completely cut off because of his sons. And then Baasha took over, but his kingdom only lasted for one generation as well with Elah. And then there was some military issues. And then you had Omri, Ahab, Ahaziah, and Joram or Jehoram. And then there was actually the longest reign on Israel's side was with Jehu. Now, Jehu was one of the kings that you could argue was one of the only good kings on Israel. He did what God wanted in wiping out Ahab's line because of their extreme wickedness. And God actually promised him 4 sons after him that would sit on the throne because of the way he obeyed God initially, although after a while he would then follow after other gods. So that's the dynasties on Israel's side. What's important on Judah's side, obviously we know these are all coming from the line of David. However, there were some hiccups in here. One is Athaliah, which was actually the daughter, she was a queen, reigned 7 years, the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. Now this happened because Jehoshaphat made an alliance. He made peace with Ahab. Now he's listed as one of the good kings, but this was one of the things that he did that wasn't so good, that he made peace with Ahab, who was a very wicked king. And so there was an alliance then formed between Judah and Israel there. And the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel was given to Jehoshaphat's son, Joram or Jehoram. And then Jehu actually ended up killing Joram's son, Ahaziah. And then Athaliah came to reign and she tried to wipe everyone out. But God did not allow that to happen. He spared Joash, and then the line continued all the way to Josiah. And then this is now after Josiah is when you get into close to the time of captivity for Judah. And his sons, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah, those were his 3 sons. Jehoiachin is actually the line that continues through to Jesus. And that's in Matthew 1:12. His name is also actually called there Jeconiah. But it's the same person. So this is the line that actually continued was Josiah's son, Jehoiachin, which would continue to Jesus. So just a little bit of information there on how that happened. So like I said, you know, most of the kings, obviously, I think a lot of us know this, that they were bad, right? But there were some good kings in here, although none of them were perfect. But the ones highlighted there in purple were the kings that were good. There was only one king that you can maybe argue was a good king. And like I said, was Jehu on the side of Israel, again, because he chose to obey God initially and to do what he wanted with respect to the house of Ahab. And God blessed him with 4 generations after that, even though towards the end of his reign, he didn't follow after God. In fact, it says he followed after the way of Jeroboam. So those were the good kings. And then there were some kings that were very bad. So while there most of these kings were bad, God in his word very clearly makes it that, you know, some of these kings were, they were just much worse than the other kings. On Israel's side, there were actually two of them, or sorry, Judah's side, there were two of them, Ahaz and Manasseh, and then on Israel's side, Ahab. And you can also argue that Jeroboam was a very bad king as well. Because as we go through, and we'll go through this in the last week, all the sins of Israel, almost all the passages that start with the introduction to each one of the kings says they continued in the sins of Jeroboam. So you could argue that Jeroboam was also a very wicked king that brought into to place idol worship. But that's just a summary, again, just for context of all the kings, how long they reigned, some of the dynasties, which ones were the good kings and which ones were the very bad kings, and which one actually carried on to Jesus, who is, of course, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then finally, the books that we'll be looking at in this study is First Samuel, which is some of what we already looked at today. And this covers, and these are just the list of the kings and what they cover. It covers Saul and David's early years. Second Samuel covers Ishbosheth, again, who had a very short reign, Saul's son. And I believe he only reigned for 2 years. And then David is covered quite a bit in 2 Samuel. And then there's 1 Kings, which covers Solomon, the kings of Judah, and the kings of Israel. Not all of them, but it covers a decent chunk of them. And then 2 Kings covers also the kings of Judah and the kings of Israel. So the remaining kings that were not covered in 1 Kings are covered in 2 Kings. And then Chronicles is really more a repeat, but with more detail of what's covered in these first four books that we'll be looking at through the study. And so 1 Chronicles only covers Saul in a very limited fashion, but mainly it's about David. And then 2 Chronicles is, again, covering Solomon and the kings of Judah. But it doesn't cover the kings of Israel again. It just really gives more detail about the reign of the kings of Judah. And it's important to have both of these references, because there's things that are listed in 1 and 2 Kings that are not listed in Chronicles and vice versa. So it completes the picture. It gives us a very good understanding of their reign and kind of and the things for specifically what we'll be looking at, which is the heart of the kings, their willingness to obey the decree of God and their failures. So this is the background for what we'll be studying. Next week, we will get into the meat of the study, which is going into the decree that God gave the kings, actually way back in Deuteronomy, of the things that he wanted them to do and the things that he did not want them to do. So we'll close there for tonight. We'll close in prayer, and then we'll pick up next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have. We thank you for your word that was given to us to remember, first and most of all, that you are our God and that you loved us and you sent Jesus to die for our sins. But we thank you also for the lessons that it teaches us, and especially the study of the kings that we'll be looking at in the next few weeks. We pray that your spirit would guide us and help us in this study, help us to learn from it, to be edified by it, and to apply it to our lives and to more closely walk in your ways and to understand the things that you want us to do according to your word, and to understand where the kings of Israel and Judah accomplished those kings, but also where they failed in those things. Help us to learn from these things and to apply it and to walk in your ways. We thank you again for your word, and we pray that you would bless us in this upcoming week until we meet again for next week. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.